This morning, we have the privilege of having an awesome guy come and speak. So I'm going to ask Daryl Evitz to come up. Daryl and Deborah have been members of Crossbridge. Yeah, give it up for him. Daryl and Deborah have been a member of Crossbridge for a long time. They lead a life group in Boverde. They're zone leaders, which shepherd several life group leaders. But Daryl is also involved in the leadership of an organization called Catalyst, which plants English-speaking international churches in strategic locations all over the world. And so we are blessed to have someone like that, with that level of heart and passion and influence here. And you're going to, I'm just excited for you to hear the Lord in Daryl. And so let's pray to that end right now with me. I want to pray for him. Lord, we thank you for what you've put on Daryl's heart today. We know your word will speak loud and clear, and we know that your spirit will draw out the truth of what you want us to hear this morning and how you want to be drawing us to you. Lord, we thank you for Daryl. We thank you for the way you've made him, the way you've shaped him, the way you've grown him. Lord, we recognize this morning the fingerprints of God on Daryl's life. And we just say thank you, God, that we get to receive what you have for us this morning through him and the preaching of your word. May it go out, God. And we know when it goes out, it will not come back void. We praise your holy name that you're going to do something in our hearts this morning. This will not just be an information exercise, God. You want to touch our hearts. You want to change us. You want to bring us hope in the midst of struggles. And you want to bring us love in the midst of aloneness. God, you desire to make yourself known in our hearts this morning. And we agree with what you want to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Brian. Well, he started introducing me, and he said something about, he used the word awesome, and all of a sudden I thought, did plans change? Is it not me? Is it somebody else you got coming up here? I'm excited to just jump in here in the mix and continue this look that we've been doing here at Crossbridge, continuing this series on the book of Acts, or rather the acts of the Spirit of the Holy God and what he's doing. And we get to see in Acts how God began and continues to expand his kingdom, to see God's unstoppable purposes accomplished. And so we see it beginning there in Acts, and then we hear about it continuing this morning through these testimonies that Brian was sharing with us. So we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16 when we get to that in a few minutes. And we're going to be looking at how we connect and how God includes us and in some of the nitty-gritty of that. We'll be talking about calling. When I think about calling, I think of a lot of things where God had called me to do, but one in particular rises or floats to the top, second only to my salvation calling. There I was on a Friday afternoon at 1615. That's 415 for you civilians. All right, 1615 military time. I was in my uniform in the U.S. Air Force at my desk in my office at Ramstein Air Base, Germany, Friday the 21st of February, 2003. There's only about 15 minutes left in a duty day, and I'd done all the work needed to be done. There was no time to get into something new, and so I thought, you know, it wouldn't hurt to waste a little bit of the taxpayers' money. And so I just goofed off for about 15 minutes, and I started going to a couple of my favorite Christian websites. And I went to one that was the European Baptist Convention. And that's this group of English-speaking international churches that are all over Europe predominantly, and then other places in the world as well. And so I'm sitting there just checking out the website, seeing what's going on, what's new. And there is a letter that's posted by the outgoing president of this organization. And I'm reading this letter, and it's just this compelling call, sharing the need that's over there, sharing the opportunity to reach the multitudes of internationals traveling throughout the world. And it's a compelling call to come and help. It's like, come over here and help. Come to Europe and help. And I'm reading this thing, sitting there in my office, in my uniform, at my desk, and he's got my heart. He's captured my mind. He's gripped my heart. And before I knew it, I'm hearing, I might as well have heard it audibly. I'm hearing the voice of the Lord inviting me. Daryl, come on. Come on and join me. Come and help us here in Europe. And I'm starting to tear. Tears are streaming down my face. And I'm saying out loud, yes, Lord, I will. Yes, yes, Lord. And then I looked up, and the one and only guy I share my office with, he's standing right in front of my desk like, are you okay, Chief? You okay? fortunately, he was a believer, and I said, yeah, but I was just having a great conversation with God. It's okay. I'm okay. I jump up. I take off. I get in the car. I rush home. I find Deborah. I come in the house. Deborah, where are you? Deborah, come in. I said, guess what? And I tell her the whole story, the longer version that I'm sharing right now. And I share the story with her, and I said, and God invited me to step out of the Air Force. Well, invited us to step out of the Air Force and stay here in Europe and do something. And I don't even know what that something is yet. And I said, yes to God. Is that okay with you? You know, because it's one thing to get the green light from God. Yeah? There's another thing to get the green light for your wife. Amen, bro? Yeah. So she's always supportive, always encouraging, and in a very supportive, encouraging tone, and where she said, let's see what God says to me. You know? And so that's a Friday afternoon. Two days later, we're sitting at church, and a former pastor of that church has come back. He's a visiting pastor. He's going to preach. He steps up to this church had a pulpit, you know, big thing. And he steps up there and he opens up his Bible and he invites us to turn to Acts chapter 16. He says, I want to talk about this thing called the Macedonian call. And it's a vision that Paul received to come over and help in Macedonia. In case you didn't notice, Macedonia is current day Europe. And I'm like, what? And my jaw's dropping and my heart's beating. And because I was the worship leader at this church at the time, I was sitting way over here and Deborah was sitting way over here. And I just looked over at her and she looked back at me. You know, I'm like, there it is. And I'm crying again. And I'm praising God for such immediate confirmation in my wife's heart and spirit as well as mine. And so discerning the voice of the Lord that we talk about a lot here in Crossbridge is so, so critically important. And then discerning that it is, in fact, the voice of the Lord that we're hearing is so, so critically important. But hearing the voice and discerning that it is His is the beginning steps. It's beginning steps. There's the accepting the call, and there's the following of the call. And quite often when we hear the voice of the Lord, and it makes sense, we hear the voice of the Lord call us to something, I mean, we're excited. We're like mountaintop, like, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you when you hear the voice of the Lord calling you into something wonderful? This is going to be amazing. This is going to be fantastic. But there are, if not always, there are quite often, most likely going to be times when accepting the call and carrying out and following the call gets tough. There are times when the calling will get tough. And I quickly found that out. God began to continue with the calling of to do something in Europe, and I didn't know what, and then He says when, and then he tells us what and where, and the what was to plant a new church from scratch. And, you know, I'm like, well, I've never done that. I've never been educated or trained to do that. I've never been around a church that did that. I have, you know, this church plant, those aren't even words I put together. And He's calling me to start us to start this new church and begin to. I have doubts, man, big doubts. And God, I'm in the Air Force and I'm used to, success. And what if I fail? And all this doubt. And it began quickly to get tough to follow this call of God. And then we have these dear friends around us. They're Christian brothers and sisters, and they love us. And I don't doubt that for a second. But they're less than encouraging in this call. And I don't know why. And that just sucked the wind out of my sails to have the people we trust and love the most not be as excited about this as we are, you know, and then to have like local pastor in the area oppose you. Who would oppose the birth of a new family of God? It's not that we don't have enough people to reach in the world. And so it became very tough very quick. And that's just a few of the things. And so many of you this morning here, many of you, if not all of you, in some way, fashion, or form, you're most likely in the process of receiving or accepting, you know, just kind of maybe wrestling with a call that God is presenting to you. Or maybe you're following a call that you've already accepted and you're finding it difficult at times. You're finding it tough. You're in tough moments of the calling. And, you know, we're called to so many different things. We're called to turn away from unrighteous things and ungodly things, turn away from different lifestyles and turn to God. We're called into a righteous life with God. We're called to serve in particular ways, missions and ministries. We're called to raise godly daughters and godly sons. We're called to put God in the center of our marriage. We're called to all sorts of things. We're all called to certain things that are clear in the scripture. And then each of us are called to very specific things that God has for each of us uniquely. What do we do when the call gets tough? What do we do when the call gets hard? The call gets scary. The call gets dangerous. What do we do when the call gets tough? And so, obviously, we're not the first ones here in the 21st century following the call of God and experiencing the toughness of the call. We're not the first ones to ever experience a calling get tough. And so we look to God's word. And so this morning, I'm going to invite you to turn to Acts chapter 16 to launch out of. Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. And we're going to look at this thing that's come to be called the Macedonian call. You know, Paul, as you're turning to Acts 16, verses 9 and 10, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's already been called of God in a dramatic way. He's already been on mission with God. He's already heard the call, accepted the call, and is following the call. And if you know anything about the Apostle Paul and what he did, or God did with him and through him, he's no stranger to moments when the calling gets tough. You know, on his first missionary journey, I mean, to the extent of one time he's beaten, he's stoned. He's stoned by the crowd in the city. He's dragged, his lifeless body is dragged out of town, dumped outside the city wall, and he's left, his lifeless body is left there for dead until the disciples showed up and he just popped up in God and went on with what he was doing. So he was no stranger to the toughness of the call. Now, in Acts 16, we find him on his second missionary journey in the initial stages of that. And again, he's following the call of God. And in the previous verses, we could read how him and his companions tried to go to the east and spread the gospel in that part of Asia Minor, which is now modern day Turkey. And the Holy Spirit says, no. And wouldn't let them go that way. Okay, regroup. Now we head north to a place called Bethany. And again, the Spirit of Jesus says no and wouldn't let them go in there. And so I'm trying to follow your call. You know, we're trying to take the gospel here and you say no. We're trying to take the gospel here and you say no. And so they find themselves, Paul, Silas, and his companions, they find themselves in an area called Troas. And they're kind of like at a standstill. It's like, what do we do? You know, we're kind of blocked in there. You know, they're already experiencing the toughness of following the call of God. And here we come into this verse, all right, these verses of the vision. So, Acts 16, 9 and 10. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia. Again, that's current-day Europe, which is across the Aegean Sea from where they're at right now. They're over there in Turkey, across this body of water, and then there's Europe, the continent where the gospel has not been taken yet. So Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging with him, begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen this vision, scripture says we, the writer of this book, Luke, says we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So finally, in the midst of all these false starts, finally Paul hears the voice of the Lord. He receives a specific calling to go to a specific place now, and he's blessed by having immediate confirmation of his companions, his brothers that were on mission with him, and off they go. Off they go to Macedonia. And again, quite often, when we receive a call of God that says, go, we're like, yeah, God's called me. And you're stoked, you're excited, you're on the mountaintop. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going with God and His Spirit. And this is going to be amazing. And God's going to do phenomenal things, amazing things with us and around. And we're going to go and be a part of that. And all of that is true and praiseworthy. But most likely, there are going to be times when following that calling, it's going to be tough. There's going to be tough times as well. And so when we come to this chapter in Acts, and really almost everywhere else in the Bible, we come to this chapter in Acts, it is so easy for us and so typical quite often, at least in my experience, to come to a passage and just kind of glean across the top, just go, you know, skim across the surface and see God's miracle and God's acts and God's power and all these wonderful things that happen. And we just see, wow, that's great. And these stories, you know, like, for example, in Acts 16, Paul receives this phenomenal calling, this vision of a man from Macedonia. That's sermon worthy right there. And that's preach worthy, you know. And then we see, if we went on further in this chapter, we'd see that Lydia, most likely a prominent woman with some social power, her and her whole family believe and are baptized. The first documented Christian converts on the continent of Europe. Phenomenal. We see this thing about this spirit-possessed, fortune-telling slave girl, and she's healed from that. Miraculous. And we see Paul and Silas, that they are miraculously and dramatically freed from prison. Wonderful. Praise God. And we see even that Paul and Silas's jailer, the guy that put them in shackles, he and his whole household were saved and baptized. And we come in and we see these moments of God's glory and victory and a miraculous power, and we praise him and we preach about it, we teach about it, we talk, and that's all good. But there is some tough moments between the lines, between these miraculous things and kind of behind the scenes. And so just consider this for a moment. Try to put yourself in Paul's place. Consider yourself a missionary that's gone out with a small group of people, all right? Me, I come along and I empathize as a church planter. If I'm going in to plant a church, wow, you know, the difficulties that Paul had, just to name a few. First of all, we go to this area of the world that they've never been to. Totally foreign, totally different than they've ever experienced before. So they are foreigners, they are strangers in this land. As a church planter, Paul, as a church planter, his go-to move, when he'd go to a new city, his go-to move was to go to the local synagogue. Let's just start there with people who believe in God. Let's just start there where all the men are, and let's go. You know what? No synagogue in Philippi, which is where they went. No synagogue. Now what? That's my go-to move. All right, so he hears about this place of prayer outside the city along the riverbanks, and he goes there, and ladies, don't throw anything at me just yet. Hear me out, ladies. He goes to this prayer place, and there's nothing but women there. You know, again, back then, the go-to move was find the predominant, the socially powerful, influential men of the city. Back then, society didn't appreciate and honor women the way that we do. For me right now, 21st century, if I'm planting a church, I'm going to do a backflip if I get a praying group of praying women or a bunch of women that want to be a part of a church plant. I'm going to praise God for that. But not so for Paul. Not so for Paul. So he starts with these women. Okay, these are tough moments in the call. Okay, and then there's this demon-possessed slave girl walking around. I mean, she's speaking truth, but she's just harassing them day in and day out. The Bible says for many days they're trying to share the gospel. And here's this crazy woman in the back, you know, screaming stuff about who they are and what they're doing and about their God. And so the scripture, Paul finally gets tired of it, and he's like, enough, and he heals her. Okay. But because Paul healed this woman, of her possession, the slave girl's owners drag him and Silas to the public marketplace, physically drag him there. They accuse them of inciting a riot and falsely accuse them of advocating lawlessness. The whole crowd jumps in and starts attacking them. They're stripped naked of their clothes. They're beaten. The Bible says that they are severely flogged, beaten with a whip. Then they're taken and they're thrown in prison. And not only just in prison, but in the inner cell, down deep in the inner cell. And not only that, but their feet are put in shackles. You see, very quickly, the calling of God for Paul and Silas and his companions, very quickly, the calling got tough in Philippi. Man, that is a rough start to a church plant, to say the least. I've never experienced anything like that. So for Paul and Silas, the calling got tough. And I can't help but wonder, I can't help but question, how did Paul and Silas, how did they press on? You know, what get their spirits up? What encouraged them? What empowered them to persevere, to move on, to stick to the calling? And I don't know for sure. And I don't think we can know for sure specifically from this context. I want to ask you to do something with me this morning that I do quite often. And let's engage our sanctified imagination. Huh? A sanctified imagination. That's imagination influenced by the word truth of God. All right. So let's just engage our sanctified imagination. Let's just think about this. What might have been a scenario? What might have been one of many possibilities? So Paul, being born and raised a Jew, a good Jewish boy, he knew his scripture. His Bible was what we call the Old Testament. He probably had, and he was a Pharisee above all Pharisees, all right? So if anybody, this guy, Paul, he knew the scripture. He probably had most of it, if not all of it, memorized, the entire Old Testament. So it's very likely in my sanctified imagination that Paul's thinking on the Word of God, and he's thinking about who God is. And he's reflecting on what he's heard and what he's memorized about what God has said in his word. And so maybe, just maybe, one of many possibilities is maybe his mind went to something like the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah. Maybe to chapter 43. Again, I don't know for certain. I'm using my imagination here. Maybe he went to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. And maybe he was remembering during these tough times, maybe he was reflecting on that word in chapter 43 of Isaiah, and maybe he was reflecting on, for example, God says in 43:3 of Isaiah, he says, "I am the Lord your God." In verse 3, he says, "I am the Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior." He said in verse 10, "Before me, there is no God. After me, there is no God." Maybe he's remembering verse 11 where God's word, where God himself says through the prophet Isaiah, he says, I am the self-existent one. I am the Lord your God. And besides me, there is no Savior. In verse 14, he said, "I am your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, and your King." And maybe Paul's starting to remember. Maybe Paul's starting to be filled and encouraged with remembering and trusting in who it is that called him in the first place. Who is it that's called me to this? In this tough time, I'm remembering and being encouraged and empowered by recognizing and acknowledging who it is that's called me in the first place. There wasn't just anybody that called me. It is the great I am, God Almighty, who has called me, as we should remember. In those tough moments of the calling and carrying out the calling of God in our lives, we need to remember who it is that has called us. We have been called by Abba, the Advocate, the Almighty God, the Alpha and the Amen, the Ancient One of Days, the Anointed One, the Author of Life and the Author of our faith. We've been called by the Beginning, the Bread of Life, the Bridegroom, the Bright and Morning Star that we sang about this morning. We've been called by the Chosen One, Christ the Lord, our Comforter, our Commander, our Counselor, our Creator. That's who has called us. We've been called by God Almighty, God over all, the God who sees me and knows me, the God who is our great High Priest, our great shepherd and guide. We've been called by the head of the body, the head of the church, the high priest forever. We've been called by the Holy One. We've been called by the hope. We've been called by the one who is I am, the self-existent, great and mighty God. We've been called by the image of God. We've been called by Emmanuel, God with us. We've been called by the King, eternal Christ our Lord, King of kings, King of the ages, the Lamb of God. We've been called by the light of the world. We've been called by the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We've been called by the living stone. We've been called by the living water. We've been called by the Lord. We've been called by the Lord Almighty, Jesus Christ, Lord of all, Lord of glory, Lord of hosts, Lord of all lords, Lord of righteousness. We've been called by He who is love. We've been called by the Master, the Mediator, the Merciful God, the Messiah, the Mighty God. We've been called by the Omega, the Only Begotten of God. We've been called by the Passover Lamb, our peace, our protector, our prophet, our purifier. We've been called by the radiance of the glory of God. We've been called by the resurrection and the Redeemer. We've been called by the righteous one and our rock. We've been called by our one and only Savior, the servant of God, our shield, the Son of God, the Son of Man, our Savior. We've been called by our teacher, the Spirit of the living God. We've been called by the light, the true witness, the truth, the vine, the way. We have been called by the wisdom of God. We've been called by the wonderful one. We've been called by the word. We've been called by God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord our God. That is who has called us. Man, do we need to know anything else? And that's only a few of the names of the one who has called us. Man, that's who we go in. That's who we walk with. That's who the anointing, that's who the power, that's who the authority of our calling is vested in. That is the one. So I'm just imagining that maybe Paul reflected on who it was that called him in the first place, and that might have just encouraged him and empowered him. Again, right there in Isaiah 43, just that one chapter, just that one piece of the word from the prophet Isaiah. Maybe as he looked through that chapter, maybe he looked at verses 1. He remembered verses 1. He thought about the words and what God says about who Paul is or was. Maybe he thought about who it is that has been called and God has created. In Isaiah 43, 1, God says, "I am he who created you." You've been created by God. "I have formed you." You've been formed and fashioned by God. In verse 1, he said, "I have redeemed you. I have bought you back. I have redeemed you. I've brought you from death to life. I am your redeemer." In verse 1, God says, "I have called you. I have called you. I have called you." Listen to this. "And you are mine." That's what God says. "I have called you specifically, and you are mine." Verse 4, he says, "You are precious in my eyes." Precious in my eyes. In verse 4, he says, "You are honored in the eyes of God. You are honored because he has called you." In verse 4, he says, and God says, "I love you." Whoa. Maybe Paul's thinking on these things. This is who I am in the one who has called me. I have been created and formed by him. He has redeemed me and bought me back with a price. He has called me out. He has called me, selected me, chosen me by name, and I belong to him. I am his. I'm precious. I'm honored. He loves me. As we should, in moments of difficulty, when the calling in our lives that God has placed before us, in the callings of our lives, we should remember and trust in who we are, not because of us, but because of Christ, who we are, who I am in Christ. Here we go. I am a citizen of heaven. I'm a dwelling of the Holy Spirit. I am a holy temple. Everything I'm saying right now, that's you. If you sit here as a believer, I am a member of Christ's body. I am a member of God's household. I am a minister of reconciliation with God. I am a saint. I am a saint. I am adopted as his child. I am alive with Christ. I am blameless. I am blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. I am bought with a price, and I belong to God. I am chosen and dearly loved. I am Christ's friend. Yes, I am complete in Christ. I am dead to sin. I am delivered. I am established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am established. I am forgiven. I am free forever from condemnation. I am God's co-worker. I'm hidden with Christ. I'm his disciple. I am included. I am more than a conqueror. I am not alone. I am not helpless. I am not in want. I am overcoming. I am raised up with Christ. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm the salt and light of the world. I am sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. I have been brought near to God through Christ's blood. I have been justified. I belong to God. I have access to God through his Spirit. I've been brought near and shown the incomparable riches of God's grace. I have hope. I have not been given a spirit of fear or power, but of power and love and sound mind. I have peace. I have purpose. I have the mind of Christ. I have God's power working through me, and I have been called of God. And that's who I am. And that's who you are in Christ. So maybe, just maybe, Paul's thinking on these things, reflecting on these things, and remember who it is that has called me. Whew. Who it is that is called, who is the called, and who I am in the midst of the doubt and the voices that say I can't and I'm not good enough and I can't, I'm not capable and I'll never make it and I. Remember who we are, who I am, who you are in Christ Jesus. So maybe Paul was thinking on these things possibly. And yet there's even more here. Maybe as he's pondering and maybe as he's thinking in Isaiah 43, maybe Paul thought back on the words of the prophet that reminded him of the promise, again, something we sang about this morning, the promise of God and that he's true to his word. And that the fact is, the promise and the fact is that the one who has called us, the one who has created us and empowered us with everything we need to carry out the calling, this same one who called us and created us and called us for the calling, this same one will go with us and be with us always through the calling. Isaiah 43:2 says, God says to us, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the tough times, when you pass through the raging waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And you, when you walk through the valley, through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Verse 5, he says, fear not, for I am with you. Verse 16 and 17 says, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, he makes a path in the mighty waters. He brings forth chariot, horse, army, and warrior, and they lie down, and they cannot rise. They are extinguished. I love this right here. They are quenched like a wick. That is the God who goes with us. He doesn't just send us and say, good luck with that. I'm rooting for you. He goes with us and we walk and follow him in the power of who he is. And nothing can touch us in the power of God. He will be with us, never leave us nor forsake us ever. Especially when the calling gets tough. So maybe, I don't even know for sure, just my imagination, but maybe Paul reflected and remembered and was encouraged and empowered by who it is that called him, by who he was in the one who called him, and that the promise and the reality is that the one that called and sent is the one that goes with and protects and delivers the victory. So when the calling gets tough, we can trust the one who's called us. Maybe that's all we need, is just to stop in our tracks, stop in the difficulty, stop in the frustration, stop in the pain, stop in the sorrow, stop in the hurt, stop whatever it is there, and just wait a minute. Who is it that called me to raise these godly kids? Who is it that called me to this marriage? Who is it that called me to this ministry? Who is it called me to this righteous life? Who's the one that called me to salvation and to this family? Who is it? I am the Holy One, the Almighty. When the calling gets tough, maybe we just need to stop and say, well, wait a minute. Failure, loser, no account, nobody, that's not me. No. That's not me. God is true to his word. His word says, this is who I am. I'm chosen. I'm loved. I'm empowered. I'm anointed. His love is lavished on me. This is who I am. And maybe when the calling gets tough, we need to stop and just remember that I'm not, it feels so lonely right here. It feels like there's no one here. It feels like I'm in isolation, but we're not. Don't trust your feelings. Because the word of God is true, and it says he will always be with us, and we trust the one who called us to see it through. So I don't know exactly that these were the things Paul was thinking about. Just use my imagination a little bit. It's very likely, knowing the word, the way he knew the word. I do know this. I do know that the history of the Christian church, I do know that the world that we live in was forever and ever changed because of a vision that God gave Paul, known as the Macedonian call, to come and help. And Paul followed that call. He answered the call, and he saw it through with his God. It changed Christianity. It changed the world forever. I want to invite Brian and the worship team to come on back up this morning and give us a time of worshiping and reflecting on this truth. And I want to invite our prayer team members to take a place around the room. I want to invite our life group leaders to take a place around the room and just make yourself available, accessible to people. And almost from the very moment, that Kirk extended an invitation for me to share with you this morning, and I didn't get to pick this passage. He says, here, you get this first part of 16, Acts. And but almost from that very moment, you know, some hurt in my heart began to resonate. It wasn't necessarily my current hurt, but I just started to resonate with what your hurt might be. What tough moment in the calling that you might be experiencing. And I'm no better or worse than you, but I have been through some of these tough things, and I know how much how tough it can get. And I thought, what a glorious opportunity we would have this morning for us to just say, God, I'm in a tough moment here. To come to a brother or sister in Christ that we can trust, that loves us dearly, and in a room filled with loving believers, and in a room filled with the Spirit of God, and say, and just get real, get honest, and say, God, man, this is tough. This thing I've been this calling you gave me years ago, I'm trying to follow, it's tough. God, this thing you're calling me to right now, whew, that's big. This is tough, God. We acknowledge that, and then let's take a few minutes to help one another remember who it is that's called us. To remember who we are in Christ, the one who's called us. And remember that God is with us. And he'll see you through that. Let's just remember, trust, claim, and walk in the reality of that. Let's help each other do that this morning as we worship and pray for one another.